good evening and welcome. It's so good to be with you. This has been a very interesting week in the Blanchard household, and I don't share this with you for any other reason than for us to be cautious about life. We just about lost my brother last Wednesday night and took off for Las Vegas where he's living, and he's finally out of ICU and getting MRIs. He seems to be having some very serious problems, and it's just very powerful for us to step back and reflect on life and the power and blessing that life can be for us no matter what's happening. You know, sometimes we can get depressed and discouraged and just think that there's no hope or no use, and I just know that none of us are ever going to want to go there to a point that not being here is an option. So let us reflect on life a little differently this night, and as we go through this particular section of our coaching, if you have your assessment handy, that will be very helpful. We're going to talk about one of the most important set of measurements that we have in our internal world. We've talked about this so many times. I think we're close to 300 Tuesday nights that we've been doing this, something like that, 250 or 60 something, which means we've been doing this for nearly 5 years. And of all of them, this one is probably the most sobering, because here we find great strengths that are often used destructively. And when they're used destructively, it can drive us into a dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. And when we go there, we start to play out scenarios, some of the worst-case scenarios, and we can actually start to buy into the challenges that we're feeling. And before you know it, we're in the depths of discouragement, so deep, a hole so deep we can't dig ourselves out. Excuse me a moment. And sometimes we'll take actions. We'll act out on those thought processes and run the risk of causing permanent damage to our life and even losing our life. So it's very important that, if I sound a little sober on this tonight, this thought process is just so important for us to understand and to use properly. So if you could pull out a notepad tonight, let's go through these measurements. Let's go through how they show up in our lives and see if we can't shift out of this place. Because this is a hard set of thought processes to change. They are some of the hardest thought processes to change. When we don't change them and we use them destructively, they can just be so devastating to us in our lives. So if you've got a pen and a paper handy, that would be great. Let's walk through these and see if we can glean something tonight that perhaps we have never heard before as we've gone through this process. And let me serve you. We have a little bit of noise in the background. It sounds like somebody's doing a bunch of things around. If that's the case, could you just press *6 on your phone? That'll mute your individual phone, and I won't have to put the whole call on mute. That would be wonderful. Thank you. Okay. This is the area we have chosen to call mental creation. It's where we create in our mind how we view our life, how we'd like our life to be, or how we're viewing our life, just in our mind. This isn't the actual tangible reality. We're just in our mind thinking about our life. We start thinking about, how do we think we need to show up in this life? And that's that second measurement. It's called honorable. How should I show up? And too many had someone in their life when they were young who, no matter what they did, it was never good enough, never quite good enough. And so we developed a pattern of unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of something that's unachievable, perfection. Can't get there. We can do our very best to be excellent, but we can't be perfect, not in this mortal life. Depending on your belief of the hereafter, perhaps then, but this life we can be as good as we possibly can be. But when perfection is the standard, we can never step back and enjoy the moment, the accomplishment, the hard work, the determination. Because no matter what we do, it's never quite good enough. Just take a look at your assessment and find out, am I driven by this incessant desire, not just desire, but expectation, concrete condition for happiness? In other words, I won't be happy till I'm perfect. And the truth is, I'll never be perfect, so I'll never be happy. Just take a look at that measurement. Ask yourself how that is playing out in your life. We've talked about the time when, you know, maybe you're the first one to ever be perfect on this planet as a human being. And the world gathers from the four corners. There's billions of people in attendance, and they're there to celebrate your perfection. And this thought process shows up and says, what's going on here? What's everybody doing? Well, so-and-so is perfect, and we're here to celebrate. And this thought process interrupts the celebration and says, get back to your world. Get back to your life, everybody. Yeah, but so-and-so is perfect. And it says, well, of course, that's what I expected. So even if we get there with this thought process, we wouldn't even be able to celebrate perfection if we were the first ones to ever create it. That's a very interesting piece. I would ask you to reflect on being excellent. Do your very best. Do your very best. When perfection is a requirement, sometimes we procrastinate. We don't even do it because we can't do it perfectly. So just take a look at that and see what it's saying to you. The next measurement, goal-oriented, we've spent hours talking about goal-oriented, and there's a good reason why. This thought process is where our vivid visualization comes from. If this were blue, we'd still have a vivid visualization, but it wouldn't be obsessive. When it starts to turn green, and then orange, and then red, and it's red 97% of the time with entrepreneurial people, it just says that it's extremely vivid. And what's interesting to me is I've talked to people about this measurement thousands of times, literally thousands of times. Very few view themselves as being vivid visualizers. They think that vivid visualization is something different than this. And the fact is, they're very vivid. Because if we stop ourselves in the middle of one of these thoughts and we say, where was I? Well, I was just with this person. And what were you talking about? Well, I was talking about this. Or I was driving down the road and somebody pulled out in front of me. And it's the ability to be somewhere else other than the tangible place our body is existing. I'm sitting here in my office, my home office tonight. And my mind might take me away to New York City or to Chicago or to France or to Hawaii. I could go almost anywhere in my mind, as could you. The very fact that we can go there and have this experience in our mind is vivid visualization. When it's red, it's extremely vivid. Orange, a little less dangerous. Green, a little less dangerous. When it starts to get up into the reds, it's dialed up so high that wherever you take it, wherever you allow it to go, whether you go there intentionally or it just wanders over there, wherever it is, it's creating a new reality for your life. That is a new expectation, which is a concrete condition for happiness. This is my life. It's what I want. I've watched this play out in a brain-injured patient this last week, who in a moment of what appeared to be normal conversation was talking about his home, his big home, the one with two airplanes and two dogs, and he lives in a two-bedroom house, and all the utilities are shut off for non-payment, and it's going into foreclosure on the 13th of March. That's the truth of his life. In his mind, he's been spending his time in a big house with two airplanes and two dogs. And it's so real to him that now when some of his ability to see the differences, he's talking as if he lives there. That's his reality. It's just such evidence to me of how vivid visualization creates what the neuroscientists call a mental construct, constructs a new reality. That is the reality that his mind is living in. I have some fear that if his brain continues to improve, he'll be facing the reality of his life, and it's going to be overwhelming. Cortisol surge. The fight-or-flight center shutting down his brain. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. This measurement is so powerful that if nothing else comes out of tonight, it's this. You must be. You'll want to be, but you must be. If you want to have peace of mind, you want to be extremely careful where you go with this gift. Some people visit salacious images that they play over and over again that impact the pleasure center of the brain. And they do it more and more and more, and it starts to become addictive, and they become addicted to these images. And then they're stuck in their mind at the most inopportune times, and they impact intimacy in other parts of a person's life. But to be very careful not to use this vivid visualization to go into that place. This isn't a religious conversation or even a moralistic conversation. It's about mental health. Because we know from the studies that when someone does that, it starts to dull the pleasure centers, and it takes more, and even more, maybe I use the word bizarre, images to titillate that pleasure center in the brain. That's just so dangerous to spend time in that place. Some people use it to escape the current realities of their life. They don't like where they are. They want life to be easier. They want it to be less stressful. So they go into the future to a time when there's enough money, per se, to solve those problems, and then they start living beyond it. They actually start living a life based on that being accomplished, instead of looking at that and saying, okay, what do I need to do today to get there, and the next day, and the next day, and doing the work of creation to create that outcome. They go to the outcome and then start living a life beyond it. And it's so vivid. And the norepinephrine that courses in our body is so powerful. We feel euphoric. It's wonderful. Oh. Except for when reality shows up. Whew. And the body has a reaction that is the antithesis, the total opposite. Cortisol. Fear dendrite shutting down the brain. Hippocampus shutting down. Emotionally paralyzed. The antithesis of that euphoria. That puts us into the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Some people are just spending time there because life seems to be awful. Og says in scroll number 5, I'll not let one drop spill upon the sand, speaking about today. I'll not waste one moment mourning yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart, for why should I throw good after bad? What we know is when we spend time in fantasy or time in catastrophe in this dark dungeon, or in counterfeit forms of mental pleasure, nothing good comes out of it. Nothing. We end up having self-fulfilling prophecies. The very worst things we thought could happen actually do. It's hard to imagine that that is a choice. That's a choice. That when we use our mind constructively, which we'll talk about in a moment, we're making a different choice. Instead of trying to escape to some salacious image to impact the pleasure center in the brain, or going into fantasy to escape, or despair and discouragement to play out worst-case scenarios as a result of fantasy often, we're changing our whole direction in life. wanting it to be easy, we just say, no, I want it to be significant. I want it to be significant. I want my life to matter. Because that other side we do, we dig a hole. We dig a hole so deep we can't get out of it. And often when we're there, we can be victims, wallowing in the misery, draining everyone around us, using their resources both emotionally and spiritually and financially until there's no one left. It hasn't been used and abused until we have no way out. The other side is so beautiful, so joyful. This is when we say, I want to engage in life. I want to embrace principles, and I want to connect with people. I want to do what we talked about last week, step into a person's world and take down their walls of resistance and have that cooperation and productivity flood over me and fill the void in my soul. I want to connect and serve. I want to create value in my life, the lives of others, everyone I meet, leave them better than we found them. And lastly, contribute. Don't be a taker. Don't want life to deliver to you riches. Be a giver of riches. I was talking to a client today, and he shared a story with me that was so precious. We were talking about one of the five ways of using your mind constructively, inspiration. And he had gone through just a horrific divorce, and just devastating for his life, and he's just putting his life back together. I have the privilege of working with him. And just a precious human being. And he said he was in a grocery store one day. It was Christmas season. And he got this intuitive impression that this couple, after he checked out, he was leaving, this couple standing there needed some money. He didn't have very much. But he reached in his wallet and took out some money and handed it to them and said, Merry Christmas. And there was a lady behind him who came up behind him and looked at him and said, Sir, you were a good man. He wept as he told me the story. He gave because he was in service. Somebody needed that more than he did. But the gift back to him was immediate, and it was exactly what he needed to hear. Because he is. He's a good man. And he got to hear, you're a good man. Ah, what a gift. We stay in this space where we want to engage, and we go into our mind intentionally expecting an inspired idea. We start pondering, for example, with mental rehearsal, an event that's coming in the next few days. And instead of being off in our mind somewhere, some luxury house, or driving a nice car, or being out of debt, we actually put ourselves in that event in our mind. It takes a little discipline at first. And we start to ponder. And we discover this gift is designed to give us inspired ideas, which means ideas that are beyond our own making. That's what inspired ideas, a desire beyond our own making, from another source, a greater power, an inspired idea, something we did not know but was known and was just made known to us. The idea could be to bring something that we had never thought about, or a way to approach the conversation, or something about this person we're going to want to explore and know more about. Mental rehearsal. In the book, I've got three examples. Peter Vidmar's example of mentally rehearsing the Olympics and then winning. The example of the tomatoes. The young lady who was facing a difficult meeting the next day brought some tomatoes in a bag, part of her vision visualization, stepped into everyone's world, totally diffused the problem, took the tomatoes home and ate them. It's just part of her vision. And the story of the Grand America here at Salt Lake when I spoke. And I had the impression 10 days prior that there was somebody there who had spent their last dime to get there and needed to have the answers they desperately needed. And I stopped my speech when I was actually there and asked if that person was there, and she was. She was, and we were able to serve her. What an amazing experience that was. When we mentally rehearse, we get ideas that we act on. And when we act on them and we create something we would not have had otherwise, it just lights up our soul with joy. And we want to seek another inspired idea. So we might go to inspiration, the second way of doing it, where we say, is there anyone I could serve? Put them on my path and I'll serve them. We get an inspired idea. And we act on it. Something that is known by a power greater than us, which is made known to us. I've got a very personal one to share with you tonight. Last Wednesday, my sister called. She had an inspired idea that we needed to do a wellness check on my brother in Las Vegas. He's got all kinds of problems in his life. He cut out the family 4 months ago. We still love him dearly. She had that inspiration. She called to share with me. I felt the same thing. So we called the police. They got there. They called the fire department. There was my brother. He'd attempted suicide and was gone. And they revived him. They got him back to the hospital. Been intensive care till this morning. He's improving. We hope that he'll improve entirely. But neither one of us knew. It'd been 4 months. We talked about doing this several times. Never felt the impression. But 1 hour from him being absolutely, totally gone, there was a power who knew something we did not know, but because we were willing to listen, could be made known. I've watched this happen too many times. I've written about it in the book. Today I begin a new life. I've got a brand new story, absolute evidence. There's a power who knows things we do not know. But if our desire is to engage and embrace and connect and serve and create value, and we will act on those impressions as if they were urgent assignments, this was as urgent as it could become. Where life is involved. Can you imagine the difference between that and just wanting life to be easy, and we're feeling picked on and things aren't going well, and so we either fantasize or we catastrophize or other things with our minds instead of this simple concept. What can I create? How can I create that? How can I serve? If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. Are we our brother's keeper? This is where our joy can come from. In terms of exploration, we might explore possibilities. Want to buy a new car. So we think about all the different cars. We do the homework and research. And we mentally, we could take every one of them for a drive. We go to the store and drive them, come back and think about them, and which one spoke to you, so to speak. And then you make a wise decision based on solid information instead of just emotions in the moment. It's called exploration. Problem solving. We give this very fertile mind a problem to solve that can be solved. You just don't have an answer. But you know there is one. There is one. You can feel it. You just can't see it. You don't understand it. Then it comes. It might wake you up in the middle of the night. That's it. That's the answer. Problem solving. Now, it takes a little bit more discipline to do this than it does to catastrophize, fantasize. That's like freewheeling. We just turn it loose and it just goes wild. But it's not designed to go wild. It's designed to create inspired ideas that ignite passion, passion that drives action, action that creates our dreams. So at the core of the realization of our dreams is a vivid visualization that ignites passion. Well, the fifth way is planning and goal setting. Instead of goal setting with a to-do list, you know, those resolutions that we don't have enough resolve to keep up. I heard a funny story the other day. It went like this. I've been on my diet. I've been faithful. I've exercised. And then I woke up and it was January 2nd. You know? We just lose our passion. It's not really passion-driven, it's obligation-driven. We do goal setting. We're going into the future to see. We've talked about relationships. If you don't have one or you do have one, seeing it. If there are things we need to correct in our life so that we can have it, we correct them. The things we can do in that relationship to intentionally create that outcome, we do them. It's a blessing. Now the things we do like Friday night dates or getaways have a purpose. We're excited about them. In terms of our business, we see clearly what we want to create. We convert it to the number of people we want to serve. We divide it by 52 weeks and we know exactly what we need to do on a daily and weekly basis to create that outcome. And our focus gets to be on people while we do it. This is goal setting at its finest. Getting a clear vision that ignites our passion. As Og said, I will toil on in despair if I have to. I don't want to do that, but if I do, I will. For I know that where a dry desert ends, green grass grows. He also says in that line that I'll ignore the obstacles at my feet and keep my eyes on the goal above my head. That goal is vision-driven. It's not an idea. Excuse me, it's not a word I've written on a piece of paper. It's a vision that I've seen. It's a clear idea, inspired. It's worthy of the effort. Well, that's really conversation for tonight. Because if these things aren't happening, we get into pragmatic, the fifth measurement, and we're overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done. Resolute, if it's orange, we're not committed to a direction. If it's coachable, orange or red, we're stuck. We're stuck in the way we're thinking, and it's not going to help us. Self-direction, we're just experiencing obligation, have to, should, must, need to, fear of consequences if I don't. It's like wearing a backpack full of 100 pounds worth of bricks around all day long versus just saying, no, I'm going to start doing this because I want to. I get to, I choose to. This is my choice. Then the thought process of going, yeah, but if you really had a choice, would you choose this? Well, some things happen, and we can either avoid them, resist them, or we can choose them. That's what Og's telling us. I love the sun, shows me the way. I love the rain, for it cleanses my soul. Talks about the light. Talks about the darkness, shows me the stars. Sorrow. All the ways in which we are prepared to more effectively serve another person. We want to choose our life, not have it direct us. We don't want to be acted upon. We want to take action. Well, that's what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. I'm going to open this up for questions or comments or thoughts. You know that I coach best when I'm trying to help you address a challenge. Things come to our minds that are inspired and sometimes just based on experience. That's how I serve you best. So the time is yours for as much time as you'd like to take.
Hi, Dave. It's Kat.
Hi, Kat. Welcome.
Hi. It's so good to be on tonight and to hear you. You certainly gripped my heart this evening, knowing, you know, my background and knowing that feeling too well. I never received that impression, so we didn't get there in time, but I'm so glad to hear that you and your sister did. And it just speaks to me, and it just helped me see more clearly. Your conversation tonight helped me see more clearly what that is all about, that visioning, the mental creation part of it, how important that really is to see it, but to also put the action steps together. And I think that's where I have been challenged and struggling the most is, as you said early in the conversation about how it's got to look perfect before I actually move and do something, and when it doesn't, I am paralyzed. So your comments tonight really helped me, to look at that more clearly, to shape that for myself, and I just want to thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm glad you emphasized that I did not get the impression my sister did. And had she not, it had been a different outcome. And I had a moment where I thought, why didn't I? Why didn't I? And we've wondered if this is just a moment for us to fall back in love with my brother. Because he may not make it. Hope he does. But that's, my heart goes out to you, because that's such a difficult. We were on a roller coaster since last Wednesday. It's just been up and down and up and down. And I can't begin to imagine what it would be like if it turned out differently. And we won't always get them in those moments. And for those who are on the phone, you know, if something happens in your life and you don't get one, it doesn't mean you're not worthy, or it's not about that. It's about acting when we get one. Because we might not always get one, because it may not be what's God's will, if I could just be so bold.
Right.
But the question is, if we get one, will we take action? That's really the question. And if we're seeking them and get them and then question them, wow, that's really scary. That we're seeking guidance, we get an impression, and then we don't act on it. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why should I do that? I had a client say to me today, he woke up in the middle of the night with the name of a website that had his name in it. His name, I won't tell you his name. But he said, and he got this impression, get up and buy it right now, middle of the night. And he sits up on the edge of his bed, and he's talking himself out of doing it. There's no way that could be available. It's too clever. Somebody is definitely, I'll get on, and I'll find it, some kind of iteration of it. So he got up, turned on the computer, and guess what? It was available. That might seem like a little thing, but it was so cool for him to get an impression in the middle of the night, wake him up, go buy this, and he goes and it's available, and there's no, when he shared it with me, I said, how could that have been available? Somebody had to have picked that up. Nobody did. Anyway, back to you, Kat.
Well, that's the beautiful part of your message is that just these tools of giving my mind a problem to solve instead of going into that despair and really look toward the vision. I find myself mired at looking at those obstacles around me and you know, thinking I have to take care of that stuff first rather than realizing that those are things that are just task avoidance and slowing me down. And to really just be a little more urgent in my life and play a little more boldly.
Would you do me a giant favor and call me tomorrow during the business hours? I'm going to tell you when I'm available and see if you are. I am open between 11 and 1 tomorrow, Utah time, Mountain time. Would you be available to call my office?
Yes, I am available during that time.
Okay. The number is 801-298-4014.
Great. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to share tonight?
Just that it felt divine, you know, right guidance to be here, and that I always get so much from this, and I'm very happy that I checked in as opposed to check out.
Yes. Me too. Well, thank you. Anyone else would like to share tonight? Any of the comments or questions?
Dave, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. First of all, I just want to tell you that my heart goes out to your brother and you and your family. And I will include your brother in my prayers and all of you as well. I just can't think of much more of a stressful time in anyone's life when you're facing a life and death situation like you are. And I'm just blessing you all. What I wanted to mention is I kind of had an experience this week that falls right into alignment with what you're talking to about, but in a little different way. You know, if red could be in degrees, mine would probably be 1,000 degrees red. I'm a creative person by nature. I'm very visual. I was an art director for ad agencies for many years, and you know, I've worked in the creative field for a long time, so I kind of got those brain cells well developed. And I got to thinking this week in a meditative state, and it was almost like your Chicago story, except instead of what the way mine kind of comes to me, and it happens once in a while, is that it's just like Alice in Wonderland falling down the rabbit hole, and or also similar to the Wizard of Oz, you know, where Dorothy is spinning around in the house. And I'm seeing all these old goals. It's not necessarily anything negative, but it's just all these old goals, like, you know, jobs I applied for and almost got, and you know, my mind had to go into those places to, you know, to be able to visualize so that I could, you know, do the interview correctly, and you know, just I must have joined 7 network marketing companies throughout my career, and you know, all of those things. And other businesses that I've had, and promises that I've made to people, and all of these things are still whirling around in my head subconsciously. And the impression that I got was to just start pulling them out of my head as if they were a string of pearls that just needed to be extracted from my being. And I just started pulling on them and pulling on them and pulling on them and, until I felt some clarity. And just sort of let it go and, you know, slept real wonderfully that night. And this week, I have had more clarity about what it is that I need to do in my future than I've had in years. It's been amazing. And I've put a few things into action to test the waters, and things are turning out positively. And so I think that there's a lot of merit in canceling out those old things that are subconsciously wearing us down, that we're not even really aware of, that our mind is still churning on them. So what do you think about that?
I think it's a brilliant analogy. Visually, where you take me is the house of horrors that I write about in Mental Creation. The guy climbs up to the top of the attic, opens the door, and all this stuff is spinning around. But I saw all that stuff differently as you were talking, because it's just clogging up the airways. It's keeping things from being quiet and still. And you're reaching in there and extracting one at a time and saying, okay, we're going to have you rest now. You know, string of pearls, there you go. Reach in, you pull out the next one. And the more of them you pull out that are spinning around, that have no basis, they're just crazy, the clearer the room becomes. Until all of a sudden there might be one idea. Wow. But I couldn't see that idea because it was so clouded by all that other stuff, which I didn't pull out. I love that. Pull out and set it over here and say, sit down, be quiet. And keep this space, this sacred space of your mind, where you can think through and be creative, get it uncluttered. Huh. Because you have never dismissed those thoughts. They've just all been in there. And every time another thing happens, it just gets added to the mix. That's what I was saying. Now you get to use the tool the way it's designed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. I've never considered that. Canceling them out that way, just pulling them out one at a time and examining them. Say, okay, you had your day, and I go sit over here and be quiet, you know, or zapping them. Zap, gone. Okay, next. Yeah, that's
well, I think
your sack was in your mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think they kind of need to be integrated because they're a part of you, and you don't want to like throw them away because then there's a part of you that feels like you're killing yourself. But I just pulled them out and it's like, okay, I'm just going to cancel this one. I'm not going to destroy it. It's still part of me, but it's not serving me anymore. So we're just going to turn it off, like you would turn off a program on a computer that you're not using at the moment, or an app.
But it's still there if you need it.
That's
your analogy that you said the Chicago, just like the Chicago dream, because mine was putting it into my heart, which took it from a burden to a blessing. But it's now in a library, basically. It's a rich resource. It's there only when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's in your heart, and now you're talking to someone, and you see them suffering from a similar experience, and all of a sudden it comes up, the one you need, and you ask a question you wouldn't have asked otherwise, because it helped remind you of what you experienced in that moment, during that interview, or during that phase of your life. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you lightened your mind, I lightened the sack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so important. You have your own dream. Have you written this down yet? Have you journaled about this? Journal it. Because I'll tell you what will happen when you journal. If you'll journal and be totally present, reliving the experience as vividly as you can, you'll notice some things you're not currently conscious of.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice some things. if you'll own it as a divine inspired idea, own it that way. And as you go through it, you'll learn more about it. Every time you go back through it, you'll learn more about it. You learn more and more and more. Wow. That's how it works. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And isn't it interesting that it happens the way it's supposed to for each person?
Mm-hmm.
Dreams are so symbolic.
It's not to mention that, I mean, not to say that I don't have a stack of negative things. It's just that what came up for me was these uncanceled goals.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like it was hidden, you know. Like, you don't think, of, you're more conscious of the negative things, but you don't think that there's other things that aren't negative that are jamming up the freeways of your mind as well.
Well, my response is brilliant. Brilliant. And what's most important is it worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. And all of a sudden you're having greater clarity. Wow. To stop and just be with it for a moment. You know, wow.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to have you get to that point where you can finally unleash your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Else you'd like to explore around that?
No, but I've got a lot of stuff whirling around inside, so maybe next week something might surface.
Okay, that's fine. Great.
Thank you.
Anyone else before we wrap up this evening?
Yes, this is Catherine.
Catherine, hi. How are you, Catherine?
I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful.
So, I'm not quite sure how to present this or whatever, but I'm just going to start and see where we go. So,
okay.
And I've been thinking probably almost for a couple of weeks about sending an email, because you've said to us so often that I visualize so vividly, and I and many on who've been in the same group as I'm in, and many on this call that have such strong, vivid visualization. And I don't feel that. I don't see that. And when you've often referred to situations where, we spend a lot of time imagining the outcome and, you know, having riches and having an easy life and all those things. And I don't. I don't spend a lot of time doing that. I've been laughed at and in programs and courses before because I didn't, visualize great things and couldn't spend $1,000 a day for 30 days or, you know, imagine those kinds of things. So for this last, particularly in this last week, I have been observing what I'm thinking, or just I've been sort of tapping in and going, well, if I don't do that. And I think that one thing that I perhaps do is catastrophize. Is that the word? Catastrophize,
yes.
Some. And, you know, that was a new word a while ago to me. It's like, oh, okay. And another observation I've made is where a conversation that's not gone well or has been unpleasant, or I was reamed out by somebody not too long ago, and I, you know, that replays. I replay that over and over, and I sort of look at that and, you know, think, oh, if I'd said something differently sometimes, or I do find that I'll go over and over and over and over that, just sort of like, I'm thinking about that, it's bothering me or whatever and whatever. And I think the purpose for me mentioning this or bringing this up, my real question is, I want to get better, and not better, I want to become masterful at mental creation. And the way that you've presented it to us before was, I wish I had just a little exact spot to go to go, okay, tune in here to learn how to do it and repeat that until I feel that I've got that easy. Because I find that if I'm to start, you know, this when you say sit down and picture how the a scenario and how it all plays out, I find that very difficult. It's not easy for me to sit down and do, and I get stopped doing that. Like I said, like, oh, I, you know, what am I supposed to think of, and I don't know how it'll go and stuff. So that's probably enough background. What can you, and I have picked up a few clues just by listening to the other questions and what's been said tonight, but I still feel like today it came up. There was like, oh, to contact somebody, a potential customer. And it's like, well, how to go about that? And it's like, okay, well, do this process of mental creation to figure out, you know, should I phone her or email her? How do I approach it? And I don't know where to go. I don't know how to start with it.
I love the fact that you are willing to stop today and listen to where it's going. Do you have your assessment in front of you by any chance?
I did pull it up, so if I wiggle my mouse and check around on here, yeah, okay, I do.
Okay, tell me, would you mind sharing a couple measurements on the phone if I ask you?
Sure.
Okay. Goal-oriented. Bottom right-hand side, mental creation. What's the color?
That's pretty red.
Okay. Directly across from it, analytical.
It's also red.
Okay. The next section up on the right-hand side, join the journey, grateful.
It's red.
Okay. Thank you for mentioning that. That's not uncommon, by the way. I'm red in both analytical and goal-oriented. And if I'm not careful, grateful can be too. Because grateful is just discouragement. The thing that you're going to want to explore, because the three ways you can use your mind destructively can be independent. The fact that we can vividly visualize and fantasize doesn't mean we're going to fantasize. Fantasy is a desire for ease. There's a little bit of hopefulness even in it. You know, I can even imagine myself having that. You know, so it's destructive in that when it's red, it's so vivid that when it turns out differently, it causes all kinds of angst. But we are finding more and more people in today's economy, in today's relationship situation, it's a very complex time for relationships, that there are more and more people who are just simply catastrophizing. Because it has to go somewhere. Your vivid visualization has to be used some way. And if we're not using it constructively, it's going to default to a destructive method. Continue to be increasingly aware of where you go when you go into that dark dungeon. My dad and I wrote about it in the book, that, you know, he said, don't tell me worrying doesn't work because everything I worry about never happens. He and I were talking about this last weekend. He's getting out of this now, which is so fun. Where you go, you worry about something, and the worst case scenario, then when it doesn't turn out so bad, you get to go, that felt better. And living your whole life in negativity, relieved when it doesn't turn out as bad as you thought it would be, is really unhealthy. His health issues right now are directly related to that process. You're still young, Catherine. You're going to want to become very aware of where it goes and how negative it might be and how much despairing it might be, what kind of conversation it causes you to have about yourself when it's there. And just become more and more aware of that dialogue. You're not going to create it by becoming aware. You're going to finally hear what it's been saying. Because that default is almost at an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
I was trained as a child that any time a phone call came in or an email came in or something that could have a problem, I instantly went to the worst-case scenario. And then dug myself out of it. I could give you tons of examples. You know, we've got several companies, and we get letters from the IRS all the time of, you know, file your quarterly return. All the forms come on a regular basis. But I get one that says IRS, and I go, ah! That's my initial reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, oh, good, we got the paperwork for a quarterly return. It's just, it's something you can get conditioned to do. Mm-hmm. I was conditioned as a child to play life that way. It's taken a lifetime to break out of it. But breaking out of it's becoming aware of it so that when it happens, you catch it the instant you go there and you pull yourself out quickly. Because it's one of the most destructive things we can do as a human being is to go to worst case scenarios, to think about things negatively. You know, what's the use? Why should I even try? It's all of the power of a red goal-oriented used to catastrophize. I've said it can take you to the heights of heaven and it can take you to the depths of hell in 10 seconds. And a lot of people are living in that hell. And it's one they made in their mind. However, over time, it starts to reflect in their life. The money they make, the positions they have, the relationships they have, they all start to reflect those thought processes. I think it's just incredibly courageous you'd be willing to go there and listen to it. Again, you're not going to create it by listening. You're just going to finally hear it. And when you really hear it, and you're not going to want to hear it, because it's probably very destructive, because with a red, it's going to go as deep and as gritty and as grindy as possible to go. And catching that, and pulling out that tomahawk and say, I am not going there today. I'm going to stay in creation. And pick one of those ways of thinking and start planning something that's going to happen in 2 days and think through and get an idea. Or if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and actually get impressed to serve somebody. Just little things.
So
it
can
start
do
to
that?
Bring joy. How do you do that?
So you actually just say, stop for a minute, and ask the question and sit and listen. Is it that simple? Am I missing it? Is it just like...
Which half are we talking about? The dungeon or
the
rehearsal?
The second one that you said was, how can I be of service?
Okay. I'm trying to think of an example.
Because I'm thinking of somebody who's a potential customer. I want to approach her. She kind of knows what I'm doing. You know, a comment a couple of years ago. And I'm afraid to, you know, just phone her up, and I know it's a busy season, and, you know, just a no. And it's like, how can I engage her in a way to have her consider what I have as a potential gift that would serve her and find out if that's really true?
And how about if you let all that go?
Okay.
And her name comes to your mind, and trust that there's a reason for her to be there, and it may not have anything to do with your business. But you're learning how to practice the skill. Let's say her name is Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pondering one day, and all of a sudden Alice's name comes in your mind. You go, wow, why is Alice on my mind? I'm going to trust that. I'm going to treat it as an urgent assignment. So I call Alice on the phone. No agenda. Hi, Alice. This is Catherine. Catherine, how you doing? It's been a long time. Now I'm going to give you an example of what it could sound like if you're really bold. Alice, every morning when I wake up, I've been practicing a process where I say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And when a name comes to my mind, I call immediately. I don't know what they need or what's going on, but I say there must be a reason why. So here I am. How are you doing? You okay? I'm intentionally letting it be silent for a moment.
Oh.
Sometimes that's what you'll hear. Don't interrupt it, because all the tumblers in the lock are turning, and all of a sudden, bam, she starts crying. Not always, but sometimes people say, I'm fine. You say, well, great. Is there anything I can do to serve you? What you doing these days? Well, I've been working with this network marketing company. Well, how's that going? It hasn't been so good. What's the problem? Well, they keep changing the comp plan, or the leadership's falling apart, or whatever. oh my goodness, I wish you were in my company. It wouldn't be that way. What company are you with? You start a conversation. Next thing you know, you're talking about your business, but you called just because you were prompted to connect with her. That's all. You don't have any idea where this is headed. Just be with it. Show up to serve her. No agenda. She may start crying and say, you know, my 16-year-old is da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, share with me. I'm a good listener. You get to be a good listener, and you develop a relationship with a person you haven't talked to for a year and a half. Now you're back friends. You got a reason to talk. You don't need to get to the end of that and say, oh, that's sad. Can I sell you two bottles of pills? You don't go there. You just open them. Let me call you in a couple of days and see how you're doing. Okay, call in a couple of days, see how you're doing. You strike up a conversation. And you've got a friend again. She may never join your business, but you have a friend. And sometimes in the business you're in, we don't put value on friendship, only on distributorship. If they're not going to be in my business, I haven't got time and energy for them. We shut ourselves off to the world. We want to collect friends. This is a relationship business you're in, totally relationship business. And you don't know when something's going to happen, but you're not there to target people. You're there to get inspired ideas because there's a power who knows what they need. And if you're willing to ask, you get inspired ideas. There's a reason for the call. I've sometimes wondered because sometimes I've made the call and there's nothing really there that I could figure out. And I've just said, maybe this is a test to see if I'd actually act. Well, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what I shared with you all tonight about acting.
Mm-hmm.
Who got to be trusted with the impression? My sister. She acts on those things. She knows. She did. I felt the same thing after she shared with me her impression. I then felt the same impression, but I didn't get it first. Sometimes I wonder if we're just being tested. Because if we act on every impression as though it's an urgent assignment, I think those things start to get a little bit more interesting. And sometimes we'll hang up the phone and we'll just start crying. Wow. That was amazing. Did that help at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
So just be open to an inspiration. You start remembering somebody you were playing with when you were 14 years old. Gosh, I wonder what happened to them. Get on the Facebook, look them up. Not the Facebook, on Facebook. Look it up. See if you can track them down. You find them. Joe, I had the strangest experience this morning. I was just pondering life, and all of a sudden I remembered you and I playing in the field at the such and such whatever. How in the heck are you doing? Just be open to those possibilities. Just plug into the planet, if you will, and act on them. Act on them. You just ask for inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. An idea comes into your mind. A person comes to your mind. Well, that's nothing. That wasn't big enough. The heavens didn't open. The angels didn't sing, so it must not have been inspired. Just be conscious, really conscious. And here's the key to tonight's discussion for you. It's hard to hear those impressions when we're over in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
It muffles our hearing. We're in the wrong place to get an inspired idea. Nobody gets an inspired idea when they're in the dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. They don't come when you're there. You have to pull yourself out intentionally. I've got to get out of this space right now, pull out the tomahawk, not going to go there today. I'm going to stay in creation. And you start focusing on a way to get an inspired idea. And if one doesn't come, your day will have been better spent searching for one than be in the dark dungeon of despair with cortisol coursing through your body.
Mm-hmm.
Next day you do it again. The next day you do it again, you start to develop a new habit. I've read this to you before, but listen to these words. These are incredible words. It's a promise that Og gives. And tens of of thousands of people have had the experience. If you do this, what I'm just describing to you, you begin to awake each morning with a vitality I've never known before. My vigor will increase. My enthusiasm will rise. That's your enthusiasm is God within. My desire to meet the world, because you're having fun doing this, my desire to meet the world will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise. And I'll be happier than I ever believed it possible in this world of strife and sorrow. The world's still full of strife and sorrow, but you're having fun because you're plugged into the planet. You're getting inspired ideas and acting on them. This is where you want to live, but you can't be here unless your thought process is intentionally here doing it. And catastrophe just wants to pull us over in that dark dungeon where you cannot do this. It cannot happen when we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And many people live here until they get so depressed that they check out. They may not commit suicide, for an example, but they'll just check out. You know, dead at 45, buried at 75. There's a whole population that fits that category right now. Okay, I'm on a soapbox. I'm going to jump off for a second. Pull out your tomahawk. Pull out that tomahawk. But you got to hear it first. That's why I got so excited about this conversation, Catherine. You're actually listening. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, no wonder I feel so tortured sometimes. If I've been wallowing in this for a couple of days, get out of there. Just get out. Is that hard to do? It may be the hardest thing you've ever done. Because the risk is, it's sort of masochistic, but sometimes we enjoy the pain of being there.
Mm.
We get addicted to it. It's a comfort zone. We know it. When you hear it, you'll understand why there's been a challenge. I'm just so excited for you. Please, next week, raise this. Give us a report. Just interrupt my conversation next week and give us a report about listening to this. You described it as well as anyone I've ever heard describe it before. And most people can't hear it because they choose not to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been working on this for some time, but I had the consciousness this week to numerous times go, okay, what am I thinking? Where is that?
Yeah.
So, good. Excellent. Thanks.
That's awesome. That's a huge breakthrough. Do you have a sense of how big that is?
No, not yet.
Don't minimize it. It's huge. You're going in the right place. This is powerful. I think hearing that's going to be your breakthrough. Well, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for participating tonight. This has been a joyful discussion for me, and thanks for letting me share some really personal things with you in the context of mental creation. We're going to want to live, engage in life, and embrace principles, and connect, and serve, and create value, and contribute to the world. Let's be alive. Let's be alive and live with excellence and purpose. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. We'll talk to you then. Thanks, everyone. Just come off of mute and say good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.